using free speech to free minds. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
As the clock strikes 13, it's Wednesday, the 30th of June, year of our Lord, 2021, day 473 of America Held Hostage. Today we're going to take a look at some heartbreaking stories that have been collected by a former NFL player whose wife was injured by a vaccine. And also, and I would say courageously put out by Senator Ron Johnson, even though he tries to still genuflect to the vaccine, kudos for telling the truth about this. You will not believe these stories. Stay with us. We're going to be on first with the headline news, and we have Energy Secretary Granholm talking about the Miami condo collapse. And she says, well, we don't know if climate change was the cause. Now, let's talk about how dangerous this is. You have somebody, Jennifer Granholm, as Energy Secretary, whose job it is now in the Biden administration to make sure that we don't have any energy. And it's not just that. She and Buttigieg, the transportation secretary, are on a campaign, along with other Biden administration officials, to get rid of single-family homes. And the way they propose to do that is by a federal zoning takeover. Now, there is no authority at all under the Constitution for these people to decide what zoning laws are going to be. But this is a hard left agenda. It was sold by Andrew Wang, if you remember that, pushing UBI, pushing federal zoning laws to make sure that we don't have individual homes. These are all radical parts of the Great Reset. And, of course, they've always justified that in the past by climate change. And there's been a lot of theories about what caused the Miami condo collapse. We've had some people say, well, it was John McAfee had papers stored there. I don't think so. That is absurd. I've seen a lot of theories about that. I haven't put it out simply because there's so much speculation out there. I'm going to wait and see if there is a 31-terabyte expose of officials to see what is happening. But I've had individuals in cybersecurity tell me interesting stories. The rumors within that community are how he has set this up on a non-fungible token, embedded it somehow in the Ethereum BitChain so that there will be money for his family as well as protecting it from being erased, because if they were to do that, they'd wipe out trillions of dollars worth of wealth on the Ethereum blockchain. Of course, they've wiped out trillions of dollars of wealth this last year, haven't they? So I'm not really sure if that would prevent them from doing anything. But it is a brilliant idea. Whether that is what he did or not, I don't know. But I don't give any credibility to the idea that the condo collapse was because of McAfee. And I don't give any credibility to the idea that it was caused by climate change. Again, this is just to forward their agenda, which is the Great Reset, which has been based in the past before the pandemic takeover. They based it on climate change. Trump did everything for them that they wanted as they changed it to the pandemic. We have a very creepy story from another one of the Silicon Valley people, because remember that the Great Reset is being sold to us, not just by Davos, not just by Gates, but by all of the technocratic elite. They're the ones who are on board with the depopulation, with the eugenics, with every aspect of this, especially universal basic income. They heavily funded Andrew Wang And they are the ones who want to make sure that you own nothing and they own everything. And they're pretty far along on that path, aren't they? Especially this last year. So now we have a guy, Sam Altman, former head of the Silicon Valley business incubator Y Combinator. And he's been involved with a lot of suspicious characters. He left Y Combinator to pursue artificial intelligence in a company with Elon Musk, the chief salesman for the technocratic elite, for the technocracy. His grandfather, again, Joshua Haldane, kicked out of Canada. That's why he's coming from South Africa. Kicked out of Canada in the 1930s for pushing what was then the principal idea being sold by the elitist writing our science fiction. You know, H.G. Wells and these other people, Aldous Huxley, all these people, eugenicists all, technocrats all of them. And that was the zeitgeist of the elite in the 1930s. His father did more, grandfather did more than anyone else to make that come true. So, of course, they would bring him back. And he has, for whatever reason, become their best salesman. People love Elon Musk. Alex Jones, the way he just fawned over everything that Elon Musk did, from the rocket thing, is like, we could not have had more different opinions on Elon Musk and then on Donald Trump. He then parted company with Elon Musk and then raised $1 billion from Microsoft. So here's a guy who's worked with Musk. He's worked with Microsoft. He works on artificial intelligence. And this is what he wants to do now. He wants to set up a cryptocurrency called WorldCoin, and he'll give you some of that cryptocurrency in exchange for scanning your eyes and setting up a global ID. See, it's all the same stuff. Microsoft wants a global ID for everybody. Universal Basic Income, here, we'll give you some free stuff. It's cryptocurrency. We can do as much of this as we wish, just like the fiat currency. Among the many parts of its plan, WorldCoin has designed an orb-shaped device that would scan a person's iris to construct a unique personal identifier. The intention, he said, was to use cryptocurrency to spread money around equitably, inspired by the trendy economic theory known as universal basic income, says Bloomberg. Again, always back to UBI. And he said, I've been interested in things like universal basic income and what's going to happen to global wealth redistribution and how we can do that better. This is why George Gilder called these technocrats in Silicon Valley neo-Marxists. They think exactly like Karl Marx did at the Industrial Revolution. We have unlimited capability of producing material wealth. We just need to figure out how to redistribute it. That's what these people believe. They believe that with artificial intelligence and all these other things that they just have to redistribute it. But like all Marxists, they're actually after a situation where there's two tiers. Everybody in the world, except for a handful of them, ruling over everyone. That's really the end game. That's really the Great Reset. And that's really what this guy is about. He's a neo-Marxist. And when you look at his, I'll have one more quote about him. He said, the company aims to help economies transition into cryptocurrencies through a novel approach, a dedicated hardware device, ensuring both humanness and uniqueness of everybody signing up while maintaining their privacy and their overall transparency of a permissionless blockchain. Well, they may say that it's permissionless, and they may tell you that it's about freedom, but let me tell you, the more I see about how these people are going to use these blockchain technologies, I think they're really chains. They're really chains of slavery, and certainly in the way this guy is using it here. Because what he wants to do is to merge that with universal basic income, with a global ID. This is the antithesis of what a lot of people think of when they think of cryptocurrency. In one of my interviews with John McAfee, he was talking about a cryptocurrency, Monero, which was set up to make sure that the transfers were completely anonymous, that there was not going to be a blockchain that showed the transfer of custody, that showed every single transaction. And so you can design a cryptocurrency and other aspects of the blockchain to be anonymous, but that's not what they're intending to do. They're intending to go the other way. They want to make a world currency, universal basic income, universal ID. The device is a silver-colored spherical gizmo the size of a basketball that can be carried around and used to scan people's irises in order to ascertain their unique identity and to give them some world coin. Yeah, exactly. Talking about the technocracy, they're now saying that finally, after all this time, Tesla's autopilot is going to get some scrutiny. That's the New York Times. Now, and they said, and other driver assist systems get new scrutiny. I don't know if they're going to do anything about the lane keep assist. They ought to do something about that as well. I don't like the idea that there's going to be technology on my car that is going to counter steer when I make a quick move over the lane if I haven't used my turn signal. If I see an emergency on the road and something that I have to avoid, whether it's something that's dropped off the back of a truck or an animal or something like that, I don't use my turn signal when I do that. Do you? And I don't want the car counter-steering or second-guessing what I'm doing. But there's other issues about the autopilot that was oversold. And this is, again, the key fantasy that was pushing people into the battery-operated cars. Why? Because if you charge your car off the grid, you look at every other way of powering your car, whether it's gasoline, fuel, diesel fuel, or even hydrogen fuel. That can be done at a pump, and they can tax you at the pump. But if you're just plugging into the grid anywhere and everywhere, they have to track you by the mile. And they have to track the way you drive, and on and on and on. This is part of the surveillance system, and yet it has a peculiar romance to it with a lot of people. Now, you had Steve Wozniak, who was the partner Steve Jobs in creating Apple Computer. He said, I love my Tesla, but he goes, stay away from the autopilot. That thing wants to kill you. So a little bit of advice out there to people who have the autopilot. Frankly, I saw this article a few days ago. As the stick shift fades into obscurity, collectors see an opportunity. They talk about sports cars. They said for the 1980 model year, 35% of cars produced for sale had manual transmissions. But now that is down to just 1%. And only 18% of drivers in the U.S. can even drive a stick shift. Well, that would include everybody in my family. Because I focus, even my daughter, I said it would help her to get a car if she would buy a manual. And I made sure that she learned how to drive a manual. Why is that? Is it because I am a traditionalist, a romantic? No, simply because I know from driving over the many years, and more than half my cars have been stick shifts, I know that the less automatic things I have, the more focused I am on the task of driving. Even going to an automatic transmission, I'm not as focused on my driving as I am when I am manually shifting. That's just a fact. I know that from experience. And so the only thing I want automatic in my car is the air conditioning. I don't want to constantly be flipping with that thing. But everything else I want control of. I don't want any automatic braking, any automatic steering, even any automatic shifting. And I certainly don't want the thing taking over the job of driving the car. Think about that. It also makes your car theft-proof. Because almost all the thieves are from younger people who haven't learned their lesson yet. And they don't know how to drive a stick shift either. So it is an excellent theft prevention device. Andy Ngo has had his podcast permanently banned from SoundCloud. And this is concerning because up to this point, we've largely seen that they've left podcasts alone, although I got banned off of some podcasts back in August of 2018. When they did the massive purge of anybody and everybody associated with InfoWars. But they pulled off his podcast, which was a serious podcast, but they didn't like the topics that he was talking about. We're now going to have Google warning you about fake news websites before you click on them. Well, before you can click on those websites at Google, you got to get past their censorship in terms of the search engine. And I had a listener, and I've mentioned this before, he said, look at this. I did a search. I put in the exact title of your website, thedavidknightshow.com. And you can just do it with my name, too. And look at the stuff that you get on Google versus other search engines. He said, if you put in the exact name of your website, every other search engine except for Google, that is the very first thing. And if it was a search engine that worked, you would expect that. If you type in a term that is exactly the website, that should be the very first thing returned. He said, though I went through 14 pages And I don't remember if he saw it on the 14th page or he just gave up on thedavidknightshow.com. And so Google is a search engine that is designed to hide things. Hide things. It's not a search engine anymore. It's not honest. Again, an honest search engine, if you type in the exact website that you want, it's going to take you to that website. They're not doing that. But if they haven't gotten to that level of censorship, if it is a, and imagine what they're going to do with their algorithm, is they're going to look at some hot button item that the government has told them to shut down any discussion of, because, you know, they do whatever the governments tell them to do. We can see that happening in China. You don't think that's happening in the U.S.? Of course it is. And so if the government gives them a list of, it gives them a topic, and they look at that topic, and if the article is about that topic, and if it isn't coming from the short list of people like the Washington Post, New York Times, that type of thing, of mainstream media, if it's not from mainstream media, and if it's on that list, then they will put up a flag. It looks like these results are changing quickly. If this topic is new, it can sometimes take time for results to be added by reliable sources, see? So until the Washington Post and the New York Times are there with their spin, you're not allowed to see what other people have. And if they don't do an article on it, and if it is one of these quote-unquote new banned topics, then they will shut that down. And we know exactly what this is about. Facebook removed false claims, they said, made by users and news organizations about COVID-19. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Kristi Noem is upset that the Biden administration has banned fireworks at Mount Rushmore. Oh, just poor sportsmanship, isn't it? She says, we're disappointed that there won't be any fireworks here this year. Let me say that the I find this to not be a reasonable excuse. First of all, even if you don't want to directly challenge the abuse of power by the federal government with their park system, just do the fireworks anyway. And you can set up the fireworks on private property or state land, and you can do it with Mount Rushmore in the background. So you just, it's pretty big, actually. I would think that you could set up the fireworks in a number of places where you would see Mount Rushmore in the background and still have your fireworks display. Do you have to shoot them off the top of Abraham Lincoln or something to make this work? You don't have to do that. But it gets to the bigger issue, which is that we have the mismanagement of federal parks and lands. And as part of that, you have the nominee to head the Bureau of Land Management. There we go. That now, if they could redo that, I'm sure that Travis just put up a picture of Mount Rushmore reimagined with Marx and Lenin and Mao and Stalin. I'm sure that's what Biden, if we could have that. Now, I'm sure we could have all the fireworks that we wanted, but just can't have those rascally presidents that represent that country, America, that we're trying to destroy with a Biden administration. And they're trying to destroy public access to lands that he has appointed to head the Bureau of Land Management, that other BLM. He has appointed an eco-terrorist, as I pointed out last week. And this is a woman who wants to make sure that all of the farmers and ranchers and miners and loggers who have property rights on quote-unquote public lands are kicked off, just like at the Bundy Ranch. That's what she's about. And these people have property rights, you know, the water and grazing rights and all these things. Those are property rights the same as your property at your home. And when we went up to Washington State a couple of years ago for a vacation, they had suburban homes, and I was saying this when I was at the Bundy Ranch in 2014, I said, you don't understand what's going on because you don't understand the property rights of grazing and water rights that went back many, many decades before there ever was a Bureau of Land Management. And I said, if you don't understand those property rights, they're going to be working to take away your home as well. And they literally did that in Washington State when we went through and I took pictures of it. I did a report about how there were signs all over a suburban neighborhood that was adjacent to federal park lands, and they were saying they're going to take our homes, and we need to push back against this. They're trying to expand this and take our homes. And that's what they're doing everywhere. And that's what they're doing with the removing of single-family homes everywhere by having the federal government rezone. And they don't like the idea of single-family homes. So they're going to kill it with zoning. But it gets even bigger than that. And that's, of course, the case when the Bundys were making their case. They said under the Constitution, the federal government only is allowed to own forts and ports in the District of Columbia. And so all these parklands should be turned over to the control of the states and locally. So I would suggest that Kristi Noem go full constitutional on Biden and say, well, we're going to have fireworks on wherever we want to put fireworks around Mount Rushmore, and you just try to stop us. That's what I would do if I were governor, but of course I'm not governor. And then we have Trump supporters warning a CNN reporter, I guess he went in undercover, this is reported by The Hill, warning of a civil war if Trump is not reinstated soon. And Trump, according to some people, has been saying, well, I think I'm going to be reinstated in August. But I would just remind you how valuable President Trump has been. Here he is in his own words, talking about how he's better than nobody.
Nobody. Nobody can do it like me. Honestly.
Nobody's stronger than me.
Nobody has better toys than I do.
There's nobody bigger or better at the military than I am.
Nobody loves the Bible more than I do.
Nobody builds walls better than me.
Nobody's better to people with disabilities than me.
Nobody's fighting for the veterans like I'm fighting for the veterans.
There's nobody that's done so much for equality as I have.
There's nobody more pro-Israel than I am.
There's nobody more conservative than me.
There is nobody that respects women more than I do.
Nobody would be tougher on ISIS than Donald Trump.
Because nobody's ever had crowds like Trump has had.
So I suggest that we elect nobody. Because obviously nobody is better than Trump. And he definitely, nobody would be better than Trump. To have nobody there would be better than having Trump there. Why? Because Trump is pacifying you, making you think that everything's going to be okay because he's got your back. And he's going to fix the country single-handedly. And how did that work out? We now have people finally taking to the streets to fight for their freedom instead of for Donald Trump. But not as many as you have still fighting for Donald Trump. He had 20,000 people over the weekend in a rally. Why don't we get 20,000 people to fight against, and this was in Ohio, where you had a Republican governor locking people down, telling people they had to get vaccinated. Why don't you have 20,000 people say, shut up, we're going to live our lives, go away. No, they won't do that. They'll put their red caps on and go cheer President Trump, who let all this stuff happen, who pushed it, who financed it, who created the executive order that made it a state of emergency. Yeah, nobody would be better than Trump. And Arkansas deputies killed a teen who was armed with antifreeze, just trying to fix his truck. This is from Reason Magazine, talking about how essential it is to have body cameras. I think it's even more essential to have some training, don't you think? And this is, again, something that came from the federal government. During Obama, you had the shoot first training curriculum. It was actually even talked about in New Mexico. It began after we saw a horrific video, a guy who was homeless living in the hills outside of a town, and they got tired of trying to get him down and to take him away, and finally they just shot him and then sicked the dogs on him. And after that, people started, that was one of the first examples. Of course, the guy was not black, so he didn't have cities looted and burned in the aftermath of that. And this teen is not black. He's 17 years old. And I guess there will be no response to this, yeah, because he's not the right skin color to care about this. And this is why I say the people who want to destroy this country don't want to do anything to control the training of the police, the shoot-first curriculum. And I go back to that again. It was in New Mexico there where we saw that a homeless person shot and then had the dogs sicked on him as he was dying. And you had a guy who had taught at the State Police Academy for decades, and he said, I'm quitting. Oh, good job, Travis. You pull that up quickly. He said, I'm quitting. He said, they have changed how we're teaching the officers here at the State Police Academy. It is a shoot-first curriculum, and I'm not going to be a part of that. That's the old-style officers. You had people like Frank Serpico saying, you never shoot people first. You know, you do everything you can to keep from using your gun. Not anymore. You shoot first, and there will be no questions asked. That's how they're being trained. And this is what this looks like. According to the account of the 16-year-old girl who was with Hunter Britton, the 17-year-old boy who was murdered, at the time, the two of them were working on repairs to his old truck's transmission. They were pulled over by Sergeant Michael Davis after driving the truck away from a body shop at about 3 a.m. on June 23rd. King, that is the girl who survived, told local ABC affiliate KATV News that the truck wouldn't properly shift into park because they, again, had been working on its transmission. So Britton went to the back of the truck and with a jug of antifreeze to prop behind the truck's tire so that it wouldn't roll backward and strike the police officer's vehicle. That's when Davis, the police officer, fired at Britton, and according to King, Davis didn't tell him to stop or to get on the ground. He just shot him. Arkansas Department of Public Safety, as Reason points out, on par for what we typically see with this, uses vague, passive voice when it describes the incident. Listen to the way they describe this incident. Hunter Britton, 17, of McRae, driver of a truck stopped by the deputy, sustained a gunshot wound, and was transported to a North Little Rock hospital where he later died. See that? Passive. How did he sustain a gunshot wound? What did he do? We don't know how that happened. We don't have any. Somehow he just got shot. I don't know who shot him. Who was it that had a gun? Who was it that murdered him? Well, we're not going to say. He sustained a gunshot wound. We look at critical race theory. When we talk about defunding. I don't want to see the police go away. I want to see the police properly trained. We need to have that function done. But we need to have it by individuals who are properly trained. And the same issue is what we're looking at with schools. You have teachers who have been improperly trained, and they're improperly training another generation and another generation and another generation. It's a feedback loop. And this Marxist feedback loop has got to be stopped. Reason says, well, the critical race theory debate wouldn't matter if we had more school choice. Let me tell you, you got all the school choice you need. Homeschool. You've even had to give it a try this last year. You did learning online. You did some instruction yourself if you have kids. You were forced to do that. All these people saying that you had to have socialization at school. You know, you had to have your kids raised by by their peers and kind of a Lord of the Flies environment, which is the way I look at socialization. Read the novel, Lord of the Flies, to see how that works when values are imparted to as part of a group. But you do have a choice. You have a choice. You can get them out of the system altogether. And since I don't think it's going to be possible for us to retrain the number of teachers or to do anything about this out-of-control bureaucracy, I think that unlike the police that need to be retrained instead of defunded, I think we just need to defund the schools, completely defund the schools. And you could do it yourself. And part of defunding the schools begins with defunding yourself. So you can teach your kids at home, but don't ever allow them to handcuff you with the strings that come from the cash that they give you. This is how they control everything. That's why I go back to President Trump's executive order 473 days ago. How did he get everybody to do what Fauci wanted to do? Well, he handed out money. It's how they do everything. You put the boys in the girls' bathrooms, or we cut your funding. You do this, or we cut your funding. You do this, we'll add to your funding, right? It's a carrot and stick, and it's always the Federal Reserve fiat currency that they use to do this. And so we need to say, you're not going to bribe me anymore about my kids' education. Because, quite frankly, you can do it for free. You can be free if you free yourself from the idea that you have to be subsidized. You don't need charter schools. You don't need government schools. You need to get off of this subsidy mentality, this universal basic income mentality. Freedom is not free. And when people give you free stuff, it's usually a free gift. It's usually a Trojan horse. And that's what the schools have been, a Trojan horse. And as I talk about this, I say, well, no six-year-olds are being taught about Derrick Bell or these other people that are associated with critical race theory. However, what they are being taught is new words, a whole new epistemology that is directly downstream of academic critical race theory. In other words, they're not having them, of course, read the people who wrote the theory. That's for the people who teach them. And they'll be given that when they get into college, when they get to the next level of indoctrination. But right now, they're just redoing their pronouns and all of these other issues. I love the satire that was done by the Babylon Bee. Supreme Court says students who identify as teachers must be allowed to use the teacher's lounge because of the recent Supreme Court decision about the transgender the male who wanted to imagine himself to be female. And the Supreme Court, the Trump Supreme Court, allowed that to stand. Again, every one of the judges that Trump put in took a pass on this. It only would take two of them to join Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito so that they would hear the case. But you couldn't get two of those three judges to even say that. And so they let it stand. And so as a satire, they say in a landmark 7-2 decision, the Supreme Court has ruled that students who identify as teachers must be granted equal access to the teacher's lounge. A spokesperson for the ACLU lauded the decision, calling it a win for all Americans. I went into the teacher's lounge, said the teacher, to get some coffee. And Timmy was there reading the newspaper. He called me Linda. And he kept talking about how much of a pain the kids were being today, said Bismarck Elementary teacher Linda Fairfield. I complained to the principal, and they banned Timmy from the teacher's lounge. But then you had the Supreme Court reinstate Timmy. And here's the way we solve this, folks. You have parents can identify as teachers, which is really identifying as parents. Parents identifying as parents. Parents doing the role that they were supposed to do. When you walk in the way and when you are at home, you teach your child the precepts, the principles, the things that they need to know from a character standpoint first. And then you get to the reading and writing. And that's what they're doing in the schools. They're teaching their Marxist precepts and principles first. Their CRT, their LGBT first. And then if they get around to it, they do the reading and writing. Well, you can take charge of that, and you need to take charge of that. We're going to take a quick break, and instead of playing the commercial, I just want to thank the people who have supported us, because, and I mentioned this just a couple of weeks ago, how for 2 months we'd had contributions trending down significantly throughout April. We took a big hit in April and then an even bigger hit in May, and things were not looking good the first 2 weeks of June. And when I brought that to people's attention, everybody stepped up. And if you look at the website, you see that at the last minute, we had especially some large contributors who I can't thank everybody, but I want to thank those who stepped up in the last minute and gave us large contributions as well, filled up the tank this time. I really do appreciate that. So we will tell you when we are in a situation where we need some support, but I want to thank you for the support. And I'm not going to play these commercials that you're probably very tired of by now. Hopefully we will get some new commercials and some other content. That's what we're planning on doing over the 4th of July. By the way, if you want to, one of the things we're going to do a rebroadcast on the 4th of July. And on Tuesday, we're going on the Monday. I don't know if the 4th falls on a weekend or if it falls on Monday, but we're going to do on the Monday following the 4th or on the 4th, whatever the calendar is, we're going to do a repeat. And then on Tuesday, we're going to pre-record a Ask Me Anything. So if you got some more questions, we still have a lot of questions left over from the last one that we didn't get to, and I might have enough to do that without any new questions. But we'll do another Ask Me Anything, because what we want to do is we want to give the show a different look. And that means that we've got to create a little bit more content, and we want to get it onto a clock that can be picked up by radio stations. And that is something that we've had a lot of radio stations have asked us about that. They would like us to have breaks. And what we're planning on doing is during the breaks, instead of us running commercials, what we'll do is answer some questions or comments. We'll try to take a look at what people are saying in the chat rooms if they're listening live, but we'll also take a look at what people send in. And so we'll talk about mail and things like that during the commercial break that we'll put in for people who want to carry it live on the radio. And so we're working on how we can change that around and to change the music as well. It's still kind of an issue in terms of, I'm concerned, I don't want to give them an excuse to censor us based on copyright music. You know, the first time I was ever censored by Google was back in 2013. December 2013, I did a piece talking about the 100th anniversary of the creation of the Federal Reserve, and how it was done surreptitiously. And it was done at Christmas, when people had gone home for Christmas. And so you may have seen it. It's a Wonderful Lie. And I drew parallels to It's a Wonderful Life and the banker who was clearly patterned after J.P. Morgan, who created the Federal Reserve after he had created a bank run and other issues like you see in the movie. And so I showed a little bit of clips, then I added a lot of footage about the creation of the Federal Reserve, and I'd show another clip here and another clip there. You know, I got all of that, all the small clips that I used, under fair use. There was no reason for them to take it down. I got all of that from Google. The entire movie had been up for several years. It had over 1 million views at the time, the entire movie. And so I got the few clips that I used and used under fair use. And then they put a copyright strike against me after it got to 12,000 views. And then some other people put it up on their channels, and they got copyright strikes. And there it is. Yeah, he found it in one place. We got it archived, I think, somewhere. But some other people put it up, and they got copyright strikes in the U.S. as well, because this passed into public domain from the studio everywhere in the world except for the United States. They reclaimed under bogus circumstances after it had been. It became a classic because it was in public domain, and you had the TBS station pick it up and play it as an annual Christmas movie. It was pretty much unknown until that happened. And so by being in the public domain, it became a Christmas classic. And then after it became a classic, the studio carved back, in America only, carved back its copyright protection, even though they had let that expire, and it was under false pretenses. But again, it wasn't about the copyright, because the entire movie had been up for years and remained up, even as they were taking down this left and right. So the very first thing I got hit for was talking about the Federal Reserve. That should tell you something. Now you get hit for talking about, well, I don't know, elections, vaccines, the COVID pandemic, name something. And whatever the key issue of the day is, they will only allow their narrative out there. And we had this pandemic for the last year simply because they control speech. This pandemic happened because there was no First Amendment. And anyway, I have to be concerned about copyright, because that's been used as a pretext to take me down in the past. That's why we've done the music that we use on the show. But I don't have enough time to do a lot of this music, so we're going to decide what we're going to do about that as well. But I just want to thank some of the people who have supported us at the last minute to get this gas gauge full. I had Troy, who sent a big contribution via Bitcoin. And I also want to thank Chan and Kekosro, who has been a big friend to our broadcast, has helped us in a number of ways. And he helped us financially this month, as well as Nancy, who's been a faithful contributor as well, stepped up with a big contribution at the very last minute. So, I would like to thank each and every person here, but these are some of the people who just within the last day sent in some big contributions. By the way, we had, and I don't know, we may wind up doing some sponsors. And I had somebody who had talked about being a sponsor with Body Armor. They sent an email. If you're listening to this, we lost the email somehow. I can't find the email. And so if you're hearing this, please resend that. because we would like to talk to you about the possibility of doing something about that. But I mentioned Chan, who has been a big friend to the broadcast. As a matter of fact, the reason we have the broadcast is probably because of him. He was the one who sent me a contribution on that Friday after I was fired on Thursday and encouraged us to continue. And then other people started sending money via PayPal, and we had not even asked for that. And people just sent it. We had to set up an account to get it, and they knew what the email was, and they started sending money that way. And so I've always appreciated the encouragement that Chan has given us, and now he's encouraging me to get off of my behind and start to exercise, which is what I desperately need to do. I need to change not just the format of the show a little bit, but I need to change things because I'm just working around the clock. And so he says, I'm going to send you a list of some supplements and some money for buying 2 months worth of this stuff. And I want you to take them. And I want you to, here's what he says, jog for 10 minutes daily, or better yet, do work around the house for 30 minutes on your feet. No dinner, breakfast and lunch only. And so he said, when my life was nothing but eat, sleep, work, I looked at food as some kind of a reward, an affirmation of a good life. If you let go of this thinking, then food is not all that it's cracked up to be. Good advice. Excellent advice for all of us. Thank you, Chan. Thank you for the encouragement and the advice. And I also have a note here from Darcy in Florida. Thanks for your shows. I'm learning so much from them. Sending love and best wishes to you and your beautiful family, including Scout. And let me say that, too. We're very pleased with the progress that Scout is making. This is from Nancy. And thank you all for your prayers. And people have sent money to help with his big medical bills as well. And so I really do appreciate that. I just want to say that although he still has to have more operations on his inside of his leg, the outside of his leg, the skin has started to granulate and to come in. We're going to put together something to show people the progress that he's made. All of his other wounds seem to be fine. And we've got him off of pain meds. And so we're just keeping it clean. And the skin is really growing in on that leg, which just seemed to be impossible. When I went to New York, we left right away. The vet was telling us that he was going to die. And we thought we were just coming back to put him down. But actually, he's doing much better after we got him away from that vet. Much better. And putting natural treatment on it. And Karen has done a great job of treating him. So we're not going to play the clip of the commercial. But there is something that I want to play for you that is very, very important that you hear. And it is heartbreaking to hear it. But there was an event that was done by Ron Johnson, the senator from Wisconsin, and it was kind of pushed, I think, the real hero in this, and give Ron Johnson credit. All these people are scared to death of big pharmaceutical companies and mainstream media coming after them, the culture, the cancel culture. And, of course, he was attacked after he did this. By federal officials, by local and by state officials, for even telling people that there have been people who have been injured by this vaccine. You're not supposed to hear that. Nobody is supposed to break ranks and tell you that. And so kudos to Ron Johnson for saying that. I mean, he said some of the things that he said were, you know, you understand he's got to kowtow to these people. It's not something that I would have done. But again, I'm not anybody who's ever going to get elected. And so he would say things like, over 300 million doses of the vaccine have been given in the U.S., and for the vast majority of people, it's been administered with little or no side effects. So what? So what? You know, I got my tweet blocked when I tweeted out. Of course, you can see it on Gab, and you can see it if you go to thedavidknightshow.com and look at the links to the four video platforms that we're on. But I put it up as a separate video and tweeted it out, and Twitter blocked it because I was talking again the times that I've talked about comparing the Big Pharma vax to the Boeing MAX 737 plane. And I pointed out how the commercial airline industry has a stellar record. They went 7-8 years without a single death under any circumstances, even though you have planes that will sometimes go off the runway or have other issues like that. They didn't have a single death for 7 years. And just one carrier, American Airlines, that does about 6,500 flights worldwide a year, one carrier flew 200 million people in 2019. That's just one carrier. There's many, many airlines, of course. And so it is many, many more times the number of people flying than getting the vaccine. And only American Airlines by itself, 200 million people, we've had 170 million people get the vaccine. And so when they come back and say, well, you know, we've only had, 6,000 people die. I'm sorry, that's not good enough. It's not good enough to call that rare. Why don't you use the same standards that you use for the airline industry? If you have a crash on a plane and they said, this is the worst plane record we've ever had since the 1960s. It was a new plane from Boeing. They had two crashes over 5 months and they grounded the entire fleet. And now they've got a new design and it's got some of these same autopilot functions like the Tesla cars and so forth, where it's second guessing the pilots. And as they start to trim things, it says, no, no, that's not the way you want to go. And it goes the other direction and it makes them lose control of the plane and crash. But because they had two crashes and 500 people die in 5 months, they grounded the entire fleet and Boeing has liability. But the big pharmaceutical companies don't have any liability and they don't stop it when they kill more than 10 times that number of people in 5 months. Why is that? Well, you and I both know. And we don't need to talk about how wonderful it is to fly planes and how low the risk is. That's not good enough. You stop this if you're killing people and if you're killing teens. And so he says, just because the vaccine is safe, well, it's not safe. It's not safe by that standard. I mean, if you're going to say that the vaccine is safe, then why isn't the Boeing 737 MAX safe? The vaccine killed 10 times the number of people that Boeing 737 MAX did. In addition to that, you've got tens of thousands of people seriously injured, permanently disabled. That didn't happen on the airlines either. Can you imagine if, you know, you go on a plane and they say, well, you know, here's a warning. You may die or you may get seriously disabled, but hey, it's rare. It's rare. But, you know, it's worth it, right? No. Ron Johnson said, what's been happening over the last year and a half is that people who are trying to tell the truth, people who are trying to get answers, are having a hard time getting their truths communicated without being vilified, without being ridiculed, without being censored. He had former Green Bay Packer offensive lineman Ken Rutgers and his wife Cheryl, largely responsible for getting Johnson on board. They brought stories of those who have had adverse reactions out in the open. As a matter of fact, I mean, this guy, Ken Rutgers, I looked him up because he was in the 90s. I wasn't following football. He's 6'6", 286 pounds. You see some pictures of him. As an offensive lineman, when somebody's like, he's like a mountain. I mean, he's big compared to the other football players. It's unbelievable. I can only imagine what it's like to be on the field with him when he's all decked out in these extra pads. Because at University of Tampa, I was on the field standing next to, with a band there, getting ready to go on. I was standing next to John Matuszak when he was playing college football. And he was the number one draft pick, even from a small university like University of Tampa. And he was about that size. And, I mean, it was like Goliath. You know, when you put those shoulder pads on as well, it's unbelievable. Anyway, don't mess with Ken Rutgers. Yeah, there's some even more ferocious picture. There's a black and white one if you see it. Travis, I should have given you that picture. Anyway, his wife Cheryl was damaged with this. And so the two of them began to do a website because nobody wants to talk about this. The doctors don't want to talk about it. Certainly the government doesn't want to talk about it. The media will not let you talk about that. Social media either. She described her symptoms after getting the Moderna vaccine in January. She said, on January the 14th, I received the Moderna vaccine. The next morning, I woke up with severely swollen lymph nodes in my neck. 3 days later, I woke up in the middle of the night with stroke-like symptoms. My face and scalp were tingling, numb, and burning with pain. And my left arm and legs were also weak and numb. Another participant, and I'm going to play this for you in a moment, Candace Hayden, described similarly terrifying symptoms. She is now paralyzed. Paralyzed from the waist down. We're asking to be seen. We're asking to be heard. We're asking to be believed. I was suffering from severe paresthesia and was partially paralyzed from the chest down. I think this is the same one. She can't walk, the one that I'm thinking of, and I'm going to play that testimony for you in just a second. Paresthesia is burning and numbing. I guess it's like, you know, when your arm goes to sleep and you sleep on it. Participants of the press conference described shooting pains, partial paralysis, and general numbness from the vaccine. I lost control of my legs and my bladder, along with my dignity, said one participant. One woman, Stephanie DeGaray, and I'm going to play her testimony as well. Her 12-year-old daughter, Maddie, participated in the clinical trials for the Pfizer vax last year, and she has struggled with health problems ever since. For the past 5 months, Maddie has been to the ER 9 times, has been hospitalized 3 times for a total of 2 months in the hospital. She was totally fine before she did this. She did the right thing, trying to help everybody else, but they're not helping her. Let me just say, and I've said this from the very beginning, this is, as we see from this Marxist agenda, the neo-Marxist, the Great Reset people, what they're trying to do is eradicate the individual, subsume you into the herd, into the hive. That's why they talk about herd immunity. We can't be worried about individuals, and everybody's got to do this for the herd. You got to take the shot for the herd. And I keep saying, if individuals don't have any health protection, then the herd doesn't have any health protection, because the herd, the village, the hive, whatever you want to call this collective mentality, it's made up of individuals. And if those individuals cannot be protected, and this is always the way that Marxism goes, whether you're talking about critical race theory or intersectionality or mass vaccination programs, the individual is rejected. Individual liberty is rejected. That's why we talk about individual liberty. That's why we had the Bill of Rights. It's a Bill of Rights for individuals. Local officials came after Senator Johnson. They said he's being careless in allowing these people to be heard. When Senator Johnson comes and talks about problems with the vaccination, it does nothing more than to discourage people, and that is irresponsible. It's reckless. I wish he would stop, said the president of the Milwaukee School Board. The city of Milwaukee health commissioner issued a statement saying we should question the motives of an individual, meaning Senator Johnson, who refuses to be vaccinated, hosting a press conference, attempting to debunk the safety and the effectiveness of the COVID-19. Who was it that said this? Oh, the Milwaukee health commissioner. Well, I think that commissioner's motives are suspicious. That commissioner wants to hang on to the power that she stole from the people. She wants to hang on to that power to act as a dictator and to not answer to anyone. This unelected official loves that power, coming after him. And by the way, why doesn't he take the vaccine? Because he's already had COVID-19. Do you understand? As a Milwaukee health commissioner, do you understand the role that the immune system plays even in vaccination? If the vaccine works properly, what it does is merely train the immune system to recognize whatever you're vaccinating for, the virus or the bacteria or whatever. If it recognizes that and you give it to it in a weakened or disabled form, supposedly, that's the theory, you know, you present the disease in a way that it's dead or weakened, and then the immune system can identify it and can take care of itself. You're just training the immune system. If you've had COVID and you got over it, you've already trained the immune system and you don't need a vaccine. But of course, these vaccines don't work as advertised, do they? What they do is they don't inject a weakened or inactivated part of the virus. They inject the most toxic part of the virus, and they inject the code to make your body manufacture that. Remember from the very beginning, Moderna said, well, we can do it. We've already got our vaccine, they told Trump with Operation Warp Speed. Because we're not going to manufacture it. We're going to send the code so that your body manufactures the vaccine. And so what they did was they sent the code so that your body would manufacture the most toxic part, the protein spike. Johnson said, nobody wants to admit that there may be some problems. I think the American public should be able to have informed consent when deciding whether or not to take an experimental vaccine, one way or the other. So here's a couple of shortened interviews. You can get the full interviews on the site of the NFL player who put this together, Rutgers, on his website. And you'll find the links to that at both Vaccine Impact and ChildrensHealthDefense.org. They all have links to the website. And I'll play for you the mother who was talking about her young child who has had nothing but problems since she participated in this trial, her 12-year-old daughter. Stephanie and Maddie DeGuerre.
I'm Stephanie DeGuerre, and this is my daughter, Maddie, who was in the Pfizer vaccine trial for 12 to 15-year-olds. Yeah, we weren't worried. She just said she didn't think anything would happen. Started not feeling well in the middle of the night. She came into our room. Her heart felt like it was being pulled out of her body and then up through her neck. She had zaps, like going down, and pain going down, up and down her spine. Her feet and her hands, like at the tips, were white and they were ice cold when you touched them. She couldn't even walk. She was walking on her heels and then hunched over. You couldn't touch her anywhere on her body or she would scream. And there was another hospital visit and more ER visits. And then another hospital visit. So she was in the hospital three times for a total of about 2 months. The last time was the longest.
When I was admitted.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then there were 9 ER visits, I think. She woke up from the anesthesia and she could not walk at all. Nobody knows. I mean, like she said, they blamed it on anxiety. She's like running out of the room as fast as you can run with a walker. I want doctors to, number one, admit right now we don't know what happened, but something happened. And it was triggered by the vaccine because it happened within less than 24 hours, all this stuff. As scared as I am, I'm trying to not be scared because that's what I have to be for her. Because if I show that I'm scared, then she'll be scared. Know that there is a bigger risk with kids and admit it. Admit all the symptoms that Maddie had in the report because they're not all in there. And admit it so that other people aren't going to suffer the same. That's it. I don't want anything else. Never ask for anything else. Nothing. If they're going to keep doing these vaccines, the medical community needs to be trained on this, on what to look for and how to treat it early. Because I also feel like if something would have been done earlier, she wouldn't have gotten as bad as she did. Every day you see new people posting on these groups about something similar that's happening. And I mean, it's always new people. It's not like it's always the same people and new ones every day. And these are just the ones that are finding these groups. I wish I could show my daughter what she was like before all this. So that they could see there was nothing wrong with her. She's perfectly happy. Crazy, you know, 12-year-old girl who cared about school, got A's, was babysat, kind to people, had lots of friends. And now, whatever happened, I mean, it's changed her.
Yeah, whatever has happened. And again, you can see that, I think, at C19vaccinesreaction.com. I'll put that in the video that we cut of this. And the next person, I want to play just one more for you, just to give you an idea of what is there. You have to understand the consequences of this. As a matter of fact, when you look at the number of serious blood clot reactions that people have had, let me give you some more numbers that Twitter won't like, Google won't like, but you need to hear this. You had 7,000 people that had adverse reactions that were blood clots, serious blood clot reactions. Now, that is out of 170,000 people, your chances are one in every 24,000 people that you'll have that happen to you. Meanwhile, the government is putting out vaccine lotteries, Vaccimillion, the first one done in Ohio by Republican Governor Mike DeWine, allowed to do that by a Republican-led legislature in Ohio. They're going to give away $1 million a week for 5 weeks. $5 million, right? And you have 5 million people, that 5.5 million people that have gotten the vaccine in Ohio. And so your chances of getting, you know, there's 5 people going to win $1 million out of 5.5 million people who've gotten the vaccine in Ohio. So what are your chances there? Well, they're a little less than 1 in a million, but your chances of getting a serious blood clot reaction are 1 in 24,000. In other words, 40 times greater chance of getting a blood clot, and that's just one of the possible severe adverse effects. So you want to talk about risk? Just because you have a 1 in 24,000 chance of doing it, is that the chance that you want to take? People are more than willing to take a 1 in a million chance of getting rich quick, but they don't realize that they're taking a 1 in 24,000 of getting the serious blood clot issues, and that's, again, just one of those issues. We've had over 6,000 people who have died across the country, but I'm just looking at one particular state where that is happening. You look at the 6,000 people who have died out of the 170 million. Again, that's a 1 in 24,000 chance. I want to play for you the lady who was paralyzed and is still paralyzed on the waist down. Do you remember when we still had media that was honest? You remember Mike Wallace, 60 Minutes? They would expose Nancy Pelosi for doing insider stock trading. It was a 60 Minutes expose. And they scrambled to cover for that at the time. They put together, Nancy Pelosi put together the Stock Act, they called it. But everybody else referred to it as the Pelosi Act, because it was Pelosi and her husband who were making lots of money off of insider trading. They knew which industries are going to be rewarded and which ones are going to be punished. And so they traded stock accordingly, and they got caught on it. And they said, no, it's not a crime. And people said, well, it ought to be a crime. Okay, we'll make it a crime now. And then, you know, all the attention died down, about 9 months later, they eviscerated that act. So they and their staff as well, could do insider trading. And that was predicated on a 60 Minutes report. We had Mike Wallace do a 60 Minutes report about swine flu in the 1970s. That kind of focused on one lady who had been paralyzed with Guillain-Barré syndrome. She eventually got some use back of her legs, but she was walking on double crutches and leg braces, but she was able to move, but that was as good as it was going to get for her. That was Mike Wallace, not Chris Wallace. Chris Wallace has become a big cheerleader, fake news cheerleader for the fake pharmaceutical drug industry. But I want you to see what this looks like. And there's no advocates. There's nobody at CNN. There's nobody at Fox. There's nobody at CBS at 60 Minutes that's going to report on this lady who is paralyzed.
My name is Candace Hayden. I received the Moderna vaccine on March 2nd. I had a typical day. I went swimming. I went running. I did some gardening. And I turned around to go into my house, and I felt the weirdest, oddest pain. And I went to take a step with my right leg, and my leg buckled. I literally looked down to see that I had legs, but they were not there. They were not functioning. I couldn't feel my feet. I couldn't feel anything from the waist down. So I literally crawled out of my house, down a flight of stairs, and pulled myself into the car. I can't even feel it. I don't even know that those portions of my body still exist. The first hospital that I was in, I had a total of 6 MRIs, 2 CTs. I'll fast forward and tell you that I was in the hospital for a total of 26 days. We still don't have a conclusive diagnosis. I was sent home from the hospital. The doctors pretty much wrote me off. The one doctor that was in charge of my case told me to get used to being handicapped, which, excuse me. That didn't set well with me, because you can tell me all the things that I haven't had, but you can't tell me what I have had. And I can tell you that I've had the vaccination. So to me, it's the process of elimination. How far do we have to go, or who does this have to affect before it's recognized that there is a problem and that we, our voices should be heard? Again, I mean, it's not rocket scientists here. And I'm also feeling like nobody is willing to help me, and that I've been caught in a system that doesn't care. I have felt so isolated. This is not going to be the end of me, but I hold on to that thought that one day I'm going to wiggle my toes and be like, dang, wait a minute, and leap out of bed and be on my way to get on my bike. When all you know to be is strong, that's all you got. So I just got to stay strong. There was a day that I did not think that I was going to live. I sat her down and gave her my will. And I actually recorded it so that my son wouldn't have to go through if I didn't make it. I mean, there's a group of us. We don't even have a template of what we should do. As a collective, we're trying to keep the amount of fear down. And I get that. But is this the best way to do it? So I guess that's how I'm going to end it. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to give up. And I'm not going to shut up.
C19VaxReactions.com. Have we ever had, you know, because they collected every single story of every person who came down with COVID-19 in the early days. We even had all over the mainstream press in the USA. We had a story of a young soccer player, I think he was in his early 20s, who had COVID, and he died within a couple of days after they diagnosed him. And if you read that long, long story, all the personal things that they threw in, how active he was and all the personal details, the tragic aspects of his life, because again, if 6,000 people die from a vaccine, Stalin would say that's just a statistic, but if one person dies, it's a tragedy. That's why I'm playing these reports for you. This is tragic. And we have 6,000 tragic deaths. We have about 40,000 tragic life-altering events like you just heard of these two individuals. And we should be hearing those stories, but we're not. And I just want, as you heard Candace Hayden say, her doctor told her, get used to being handicapped. And I want to contrast what she had to say in her testimony again with what this pathetic health bureaucrat, Kirsten Johnson in Milwaukee, had to say, the Milwaukee Health Commissioner. We should question the motives of individuals who refuse to be vaccinated and host a press conference attempting to debunk the safety and effectiveness of the COVID-19 vaccine. That person needs to be put on trial. She needs to be removed from office, and she needs to be put on trial from the county health commissioners all the way up to President Biden and President Trump, including Fauci, including the people at the NIH and the FDA and these pharmaceutical executives who become multi-billionaires in 1 year. They need to be put into a truth hearing. To get the truth out of these people. Absolutely disgusting to see this. You hear these people saying, well, you know, there's chronological associations with this, so yeah, maybe we could admit that it's giving young people heart attacks. Ken Rutgers, again, the former Green Bay Packer offensive lineman, his wife, had the adverse reactions. Johnson saying, we're all pro-vaccine here. He said, I've had every flu shot since the swine flu. I'm current on all my vaccines, and I was a huge supporter of Operation Warp Speed. Well, you're a Republican. Where did you find that in the Constitution, Senator Johnson? I mean, I'm not going to give him a pass. I'm glad that he's doing this. He's taking a lot of flack because he's right over the key thing that they're talking about here. But let's not kowtow. let's not lie to people. Let's not tell people, well, largely they're safe. I mean, are we going to, again, do that with a 737 MAX? Well, you know, most of the people who flew that plane, there was a lot of plane flights of the 737 MAX over those 5 months, and maybe even earlier. You had a lot of people flying. You only had 500 people die, so what's the big deal? He says, I'm not getting the vaccine because I already had COVID-19. He said, we're doing this. The goal is to have a platform for these individuals who are injured by COVID vaccines so that the health community and the mainstream media would acknowledge them and to get to the root causes and to find a solution for these problems. You know what the solution for this is? Don't get the vaccine. That's the obvious solution for this. You might want to go out and do a test first. And you might want to inform the people as they volunteer for this what they're really signing up for. And you might ought to pay them as well, not just enter them into a lottery or offer them a donut. The key thing you could do is not mandate this, not force people to do it, not lie to them, not try to trick them by bribery, playing a gambling game. At one point, doctors tried to admit Maddie to a mental hospital. This is the young girl, the 12-year-old girl. Claiming that she had a neurological condition caused by anxiety, her mother explained, and that's when they found others experiencing similar adverse reactions who then connected them to medical professionals. And let me just say, when I'm reading that to you, because when I read that, it reminded me of the case of Justina Peltier and of Marty Gottesfeld. I talked to Marty's wife this last week, and it was Justina Peltier who was kidnapped by Boston Children's Hospital, and they had done that to many other individuals in the past. Why? Because there was money to be made. We've had medical kidnapping of the entire world this last year. Between the Trump vaccines and between the lockdowns that have been done by every one of these traitorous leaders in every one of these countries to push us into this vaccine thing, this has been medical kidnapping of each and every one of us. But in that particular case, what Marty tried to do was to draw attention to what Boston Children's Hospital was doing. She had been, Justina Peltier, had been treated for a physiological condition that she had at Tufts University. She went to Boston's Children's Hospital because it was over a weekend, and the person that she was under treatment for at Tufts was not there. And when she went in, the person who identified her as having a psychological issue. You're just imagining this. There's nothing physiologically wrong with you. That person was in the midst of doing a doctoral thesis on that very psychological issue. And so this doctoral candidate projected her thesis onto Justina Peltier. They kidnapped her. They would not let her go. Took her away from the parents. Said, well, no, the parents are not qualified to make this decision because we're the medical experts here. As a matter of fact, I think her mother is engaged in Munchausen by proxy, projecting her illness, projecting this illness onto her child to get attention for herself or whatever the motive is. When in reality, it was really the psychologist who was doing that. They kept her under lock and key. She got much worse, and she was about to die, and that's why, as that information got out and nothing was being done about it, because Boston Children's Hospital is heavily connected to Harvard, and Harvard basically runs that town. And they ran Marty into a very, very draconian sentence when he merely took over their computer system during a fundraising event to draw attention to how they were killing Justina. He didn't do anything to harm any patients. They were the ones who were doing things to harm patients. But we see the same thing here with Maddie. The wife of Ken Rutgers, Cheryl, I read that to you before. It was 4 days after she had received her first dose of Moderna that she experienced the severe neurological complications. She now has been diagnosed as having vaccine-induced autoimmune neuropathy and multiple sclerosis. These injuries are going to be lifelong. These vaccine injuries are real, but people don't know about it. People need to understand these reactions exist, and they need to be researched, said Cheryl. She said she's pro-vaccine, pro-science, pro-informed consent. Let me tell you, wake up. Stop being pro-vaccine. This has been going on for a long time before this. This is not science. This is greed and corruption. Government and corporate greed and corruption. This is not science. Not at all. This has nothing to do with safety. Again, look at the difference between the FAA and the FDA. It's not a controlled bureaucracy. If you had people running the FDA, they were pulled in from Boeing, and then they say, well, there's no problem with the Boeing 737 MAX, and then they go to work for Boeing, you might realize that there was an issue here. If you had somebody like Fauci who said, you're not going to be able to sue airplanes no matter what happens, what do you think would happen to the airplanes as they're being operated, as they're being maintained, as they're being designed? Do you not understand what has happened with the CDC, the FDA, the NIH, how corrupt these people are? How they are in bed with the industries? Christy Dobbs, a 39-year-old dental hygienist from Missouri, received the Pfizer vaccine in January, immediately after being vaccinated. Dobbs experienced paresthesia, that's the numbness and tingling and burning, heart palpitations, and menstrual issues. She said, to date, the medical community remains baffled and unable to restore my health. I hope that our conditions will be researched and studied. That's one of the reasons why they're doing this, because right now you got to be told by Google, by Twitter, by Facebook, by ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, Fox News, all the rest of them. You're being told that it's 100% safe. It's 100% effective. There's nothing to see here. Anybody who talks about this stuff is a dangerous conspiracy theorist like David Knight, and they need to be purged everywhere. Dobbs added she would give anything to return to January the 17th before she was vaccinated. And that's why I'm doing this. You need to hear this. They're going to step the pressure up on you. They're going to rubber stamp this at the FDA and tell everybody, well, it's now fully approved. It's no longer under emergency use authorization. And then your employers are going to start telling you, well, you want that job, you're going to have to get this vaccine. And then they bring out the wheel of fortune. And you take a wheel of fortune spin. Do you get to keep your job where they treat you like filth? Act as if you were their personal property and their slave? Maybe nothing will happen to you and you can just go back to work. Or maybe you'll get what these people got. Brianne Dressen, a preschool teacher from Utah, got the AstraZeneca COVID vaccine during clinical trials in November 2020. She has since experienced extensive adverse effects from the vaccine that resulted in a medical bill of more than $250,000. You might want $1 million in some of these states, or you might get a bill of $250,000. Or we had the lady about a month ago, as these vaccine things were coming out, the vaccine lotteries. She wound up with a bill of $1.5 million, and she's an invalid. She has to be taken care of by her family. So she can't work. Her family can't work, but she got a $1.5 million damage. And then just look at what it's done to her life. She has to have family members take her to the bathroom. She can't do anything for herself. according to the latest VAERS data, there have been a total of 387,000 reports of adverse effects, including 31,000 serious injuries. So about 10% of them are serious, life-enduring, like we're talking about here. But that's 31,000 people and 6,113 deaths. Again, would that ever be allowed with airline industry? Adverse effects that were there, 4% of them were rated serious, and 9 reported deaths in the 12 to 17-year-olds. So of the 12 to 17, this is a subset for people 12 to 17, who, again, according to the government data that they've been doctoring to create a pandemic, the people who are 12, the kids who are 12 to 17 years old, have zero risk from this, zero risk. Typically don't get it. If they do, they get a mild case. They may not even know that they've got it. They have no risk from this. And yet 4% of them have 4% of the 11,500 adverse events for 12 to 17 years old, 4% of those are serious, 578, and they've had 9 deaths of people who had no risk from the virus itself. And so Ron Johnson is getting serious backlash for this. Even the governor has come after him, calling him reckless and irresponsible. Let me tell you, Governor Tony Evers, what is reckless and irresponsible? It's Trump's vaccine program, Warp Speed. That is what is reckless. Absolutely, totally reckless. As a matter of fact, I want you to hear Trump as he was introducing this The idiot doesn't even know how to pronounce Moncef Slaoui's name. Listen to how he pronounces that and how he brags about this at the onset.
Warp speed. That means big and it means fast. A massive scientific, industrial, and logistical endeavor unlike anything our country has seen since the Manhattan Project. The Great National Project will bring together the best of American industry and innovation, the full resources of the United States government, and the excellence and precision of the United States military. We have the military totally involved. To date, Operation Warp Speed has brought together all of the experts across the federal government from places like the NIH, CDC, FDA, and many other agencies. This historic partnership will now bring together the full resources of the Department of Health and Human Services with the Department of Defense. And we know what that means. That means the full power and strength of the military, and that really talking about the logistics. We get it when we get it. That means the logistics, getting it out so that everybody can take it. Operation Warp Speed's chief scientist will be Dr. Moncef Slaoui, a world-renowned immunologist who helped create 14 new vaccines. That's a lot of our new vaccines.
Moncef Slaoui. He's going to run the Warp Speed. We're going to get a guy named Slaoui to run the Warp Speed program, right? And the whole time, it's Moncef Slaoui, by the way. The whole time, you've got Fauci there in the background rocking with his mask on like some kind of a supervillain. The disconnect between both the Trump cult and the Trump derangement syndrome people is absolutely astounding to me. These people who despise Trump at every level and everything that he's ever done, you could tell them a whole bunch of things that were done by Obama. We've seen this done many times. And, oh, that's awful if you tell them it's done by Trump. And then you tell them it was done by Obama, they're fine. And the same thing happens on the right as well. You have conservatives who do not want the vaccine, but they do not blame Trump for what he's doing to people worldwide. And then you have the Democrats who hate everything about Trump, everything. And they're taking the Trump vaccine. And not only that, they're demanding that you get it as well. Trump rushes this thing through without any testing, has it delivered by the military. No problem. No problem to the brain dead left. No problem to the brain dead Trump cult either. Teen who had a heart attack after the Pfizer vaccine, that's the Trump vaccine. I'd rather have had COVID, he said. 18-year-old from Springdale, Arkansas. His father initially didn't think about it because he'd had both doses of the Moderna vaccine and he had got sick, but his symptoms were not serious, he said. But his son, Isaiah, within 48 hours of getting the second dose, his heart started hurting, he said, quote, very, very bad. Things started going downhill fast. His father, Harris, said that they grew really concerned when their son started having trouble breathing. We took him to the hospital, but they didn't take him seriously. They don't take any of these adverse effects seriously. They pretend it's not happening. We waited in the waiting room for over 2 hours. Then they left him in a hallway for 6 hours. Things went from bad to worse while waiting in the hospital. That's when he had his heart attack, and one of his lungs filled up with fluid. Harris said it wasn't until his wife, who was the only one allowed with Isaiah in the hallway due to COVID restrictions. His wife then told the staff multiple times that her son was having a heart attack, and finally they did something about it, and they ran an EKG. At that point, only 40% of his heart was functioning. And let me say this. We look at childhood diseases. You know, there's a lot of childhood diseases that in my generation, the parents did not take seriously, and they didn't need to take seriously. Measles was not taken seriously. Why? Because it was extremely, and I mean really was, rare that anybody would have an issue with it. You never heard of it. It was unheard of. And mumps, other things like that. And so typically, Karen's family, you know, she's a twin. She's got brothers about a year and a half old. They had four kids within a space of 3 years. So her mom, when she'd hear that somebody in the neighborhood, a kid had childhood disease, she'd send them all down there. Let's get this done. Because, you know, the childhood diseases were handled much better than if you got them as a child than they were if you got them as an adult. If you got measles or some of these other things as an adult, it was a lot more serious than if you got it as a child. But if you got it as a child, you had lasting immunity, not temporary at best immunity like you get from the MMR vaccine. That's why they're giving it to people two, three times, and still you have outbreaks of people who've been multiple vaccinated. But when you had some diseases like scarlet fever or rheumatic fever, they affected the heart. And it was understood that if kids had a severe case of scarlet fever, they would have permanent heart damage because the heart doesn't regenerate like some of the other organs are capable of doing. And so is this going to be it for this young kid who was very healthy? He had no pre-existing conditions. He says, I was very healthy. I lift weights quite a bit. I'm active. I used to play football. They got pictures of him playing football. I had no history of any viruses or myocarditis. The doctors were saying 6 months of total bed rest with medication to numb his heart. And that's when I got hold of a Surgeon General of Arkansas, and he gave me the link to VAERS because the hospital wouldn't do it. The hospital didn't want this reported into the VAERS database. Do you understand that when we talk about the incredible number of people, you know, 387,000 adverse effects, 10% of those serious, 6,100 people dead? That's a small percentage. That's not everything that's, you know, the media wants to tell you, oh, that's more than it happened. No, 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 it's less. Former head of the HHS said only about 1% are reported to that. And it's not just the VAERS. It's also what's happening to the European database and to other databases that are maintained in other regions of the world. Harris said that he has bothered the father, that the CDC is, quote, passing this off and, quote, isn't doing thorough research into this. They've done no research into putting these vaccines out. He said the doctor at Cleveland that we took him to is doing research on myocarditis. He's seen 100 patients personally with myocarditis from the vaccine. Do you realize that? Just one doctor has seen 100 patients with vaccine-induced myocarditis. Isaiah said his condition right now is better than it was, but he's still in a little bit of pain. He said the swelling has gone down. I used to lift every day, but for 3 to 6 months, I can't do any physical activity. The most I can do is walk my dog. If I get my heart rate up, it could reoccur, and I could have another heart attack. When asked if he would recommend the vaccine to other teens, he said, well, I'm not anti-vaccine, but I do think that anyone should, do not think anyone should get this vaccine. Even in Canada, I was talking to someone, and it was being lowered to one dose for teens, and they're still having issues. Isn't that the interesting thing, too, about vaccines? Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that they give the same dosage to adults that they give to children? Is that one of the reasons that we have so many more adverse effects with children, besides the fact that they're developing with so many of these vaccines? And the father said, I'll be honest with you, I used to think anti-vaxxers were different. In other words, stupid. Yeah, you're special in a really special way, you anti-vaxxers. You're all filled with conspiracy theorists. You don't trust the government. You don't trust the greediest corporations the world has ever seen outside of Silicon Valley. My wife had already decided she wasn't going to get the vaccine. For my other two boys, it was an option for them, but they opted out. But Isaiah decided that because he's more social, that he would get the vaccine. But now, I'm totally against it, said the father. Harris said he's totally against the vaccine, even though he got the Moderna shot, because the vaccines are causing myocarditis in older people, too. How many times have I said this? I said they're only talking about this with the young people because they can't pass this off as some kind of pre-existing condition or comorbidity like they can with older people. It's just too dangerous, and there aren't enough studies. Harris, there aren't any studies. Zero. Zip. Nada. It's supposed to be done for 2 years. They didn't even do it for 2 months. He said, to look at Isaiah on the outside, he looks normal, but once you look at his numbers and his heart scans, it shows the inflammation. It shows a true case of myocarditis. He said, I thought I was doing the right thing, but now I have an overwhelming feeling of guilt. You know, I feel as a parent that there were two sides of it. As a dad, I wanted him to get it because Isaiah is very outgoing and he's getting ready to enter pharmaceutical school, and I wanted him to be safe. Well, I would just say this, if I could say something to Harris. Don't feel guilty about this. You are lied to. You are lied to by everybody. And many, many people have been lied to about vaccines. That's why I am a proud I'm proud to state that I am categorically anti-vaccine at this point. None whatsoever. You got a product that you have complete protection from any liability or damage that you do to people. I'm sorry, I'm not taking that product. That's end of story. It should be for you as well. He went on to say, hearing the government put, this is the father, hearing the government push it, no matter if it was a Republican or Democrat president, whether it was Trump, oh, it's huge, it's huge. Nobody's done a vaccine like this before. I got the best vaccine ever. Nobody's ever had a vaccine this huge, this great. I'm going to shoot the world. Shoot your mouth, you lying piece of filth. You backstabbing, arm-stabbing traitor, Trump. He says, you hear Republican, Democrat presidents, this is what you need to do. But I have an overwhelming guilt that I set up an appointment for Isaiah. And I encouraged him to get it even though he made his own choice. Isn't it interesting that Trump has no guilt about this? He still brags about this at every rally. Tens of thousands of people cheering him on. And he brags about his vaccine. He has no guilt. Trump has no conscience. He has no conscience about anything. Anything. He doesn't care what he did to the people on January the 6th. He doesn't care what is still being done to the people with his Operation Warp Speed vaccine. He has no conscience. It has been seared with a hot iron. Avoid that man like the plague. Mark him. Because God has marked him. You better believe that. He said, I helped my son get the vaccine. I think as parents we need to step back and help to educate ourselves and others. That's why we shared this story, to educate people. Isaiah, the son, said, I believe President Biden said in a recent statement that if you aren't vaccinated, you'll end up paying the price. Or you'll have to wear a mask. He said, I would rather have had COVID than a heart attack. Yeah, we looked at, this was actually put out by Reuters, actually put even on the Drudge Report. Drudge, Matt Drudge, who's become the handmaid of the establishment, pharmaceutical, press, the propaganda wing. I don't even have to go. One good thing about it is I don't have to go to CNN or New York Times or Washington Post or MSNBC to know what lies the establishment and the government are telling me. I can get them all collected in one place by Matt Drudge. He is the aggregator of lies and propaganda now. But they had this story up on Reuters. Again, trying to spin it, the fact that heart inflammation after COVID-19 shots higher than expected in a U.S. military study. They found 23 previously healthy males with an average age of 25 complained of chest pain within 4 days of receiving the COVID shot, much higher than they had estimated. So, yeah, there you go. It's very effective, isn't it? A rate of about 12.6 cases per million people vaccinated, according to them, according to the CDC. And you know that they're putting a happy spin on this. And again, I'll just remind you, that's 12.6 cases per million people vaccinated. In Ohio, your chances of winning the Vax-a-Million lottery, 5.5 million people vaccinated, 5 people will win $1 million. Your chances are less than 1 in a million. But, you know, your chance of getting a heart attack if you're a young, healthy male are not less than 1 in a million. They're 12.6 per million. And remember the way they got this swine flu back in the 1970s put out. They said, look at this. We think, one soldier who got a case of swine flu. And everybody's rationale of the lady who was lied into that by the media, by the government, said, well, if I saw a young male in basic training in the military and he comes down with this thing and it killed him, who am I? I should have this as well. Well, you might take that same rationale and say, if you got 12.6 cases per million in the military coming down with a heart attack, these young, healthy individuals under the age of 25, that have gone through basic training and so forth in the military, maybe you might want to reconsider your chances of being able to get through that. At the same time, ChildrensHealthDefense.org points out that there are going to be protests that are going to happen this weekend Let's see. It happened last week. I thought it was today. June the 23rd. It was a week ago. So I missed telling you about that. But they did have protests in five U.S. cities to challenge the vaccination of underage children without parental consent. And these were in Seattle, Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, San Francisco, Elmhurst, New York. So I'm sorry this wasn't more timely. I just saw this. I hope that went well. Because, as I pointed out, in America, underage children need parental consent to go to a suntan salon, to go on a school field trip, or to be prescribed any medication other than this. They can't drink under the age of 21, alcohol. They can't drive. But you can give them an experimental Trump vaccine without any parental notification whatsoever. One more story here about vaccines. I'm winding up doing virtually the entire program on this because it just bothered me so much to see those clips of the injured individuals. Man dies after a second Moderna dose following a rare blood clotting disorder, which, by the way, is not all that rare. It's 10 days, 65-year-old man. TTS, thrombosis with thrombocytopenia, 10 days after receiving his second dose of Moderna. And 2 days later, after he was admitted to the hospital, he died. Doctors concluded his symptoms were consistent with vaccine-induced clotting, which now they've given the acronym VITT. VITT. Latest VAERS data, by the way, shows that blood clotting disorders are involved in all three of the Trump vaccines, all three of them. And finally, I'll just say this, a story from WND, Cheryl Atkinson, going back a few years, but she just put this out, talking about how at the CDC, its statements about COVID, Cheryl Atkinson says, well, do you remember when we had the report by a scientist there at the CDC, William Thompson. He said, we know that if we give the vaccines, the MMR vaccines were the ones in view at the time, if we give those MMR vaccines to black children before the age of 36 months, 3 years, that they have a much higher risk of autism. We found that out at the CDC. And then I was part of a group that destroyed that data so that it wouldn't be made public, and I can't live with myself. And then the CDC turned on him, Frank DiStefano, the CDC's head of immunization safety. Head of immunization safety, probably still there. Interview back in 2014 that Thompson gave to Cheryl Atkinson. Thompson stunned the scientific community by confirming that he and DiStefano and others committed fraud in a major vaccine autism study. Do you remember that? According to Thompson, he and fellow CDC scientists covered up a link in all of this, and he called DiStefano a pathetic liar. He would know. And isn't it interesting that we had Kerry Mullis, who invented the PCR test, and the way that Fauci abused that for the AIDS, quote-unquote, pandemic, which is not a pandemic, but the way that Fauci abused that to say that it was caused by a virus, which would mean then that everybody was at risk, not just the homosexual community that was engaged in certain practices. And he called him a liar. He said he'll look right into your face and lie to the camera. He'll lie right to your face. He has absolutely no idea how this test works. He knows nothing. He's not a scientist. I've challenged him to debates. He will not debate me in public. So these people have been lying to you for a very long time. I've got a lot of stuff that I didn't get to today because I spent so much time on the vaccines. And I told Karen I wasn't going to get too focused on one thing. We did cover some headline news at the beginning, but I want to say this before We go, and then I'll pick up the program on KHNC, so maybe I'll be able to run through some news quickly there. Tucker Carlson, I thought it was kind of interesting, again, to see that that was at the top of Drudge yesterday, and Drudge linked to a Mediaite story that mocked Tucker Carlson for saying that he was being listened to by the NSA. Seriously? All this Mediaite article was, and we see this a lot from so-called reporters and writers now, they just go out and collect a bunch of statements that blue checks make about a particular issue on Twitter. And so it's just a whole link, a whole bunch of links on Twitter. And they said on Mediaite, and this is a story, of all the stories that Matt Drudge could have linked to, he goes to the Mediaite story that says, his commentary almost immediately received skepticism and mockery. You know, by Mediaite, by Drudge. And this is typical. Jonah Goldberg, who, by the way, Jonah Goldberg, you know, is a guy who was the former editor of National Review. National Review, where William F. Buckley did his best to take down the John Birch Society that always told us the truth. Told us the truth about the militarized police, about the federal takeover of the police, and many, many other things. William F. Buckley, who worked for the CIA, who wrote CIA novels and all these other things, who had his own show on National Public Radio, a real true blood conservative there, William F. Buckley. He was always interesting to listen to, but he was not what he appeared to be. His controlled opposition. National Review, controlled opposition. Jonah Goldberg, who used to be the editor at National Review, he's moved on from there now, comes out and says, spoiler alert, the NSA isn't spying on Tucker. It's like, what? Who would say that except somebody who works with and for the intelligence community? Let's just say the CIA. I retweeted that with a response. I said, is this a retweet from 2013? didn't we settle this back in 2013? Didn't we have James Clapper perjure himself for a month or two before the Snowden leaks said the same thing that Tucker Carlson did, and the whistleblower? I said, has Jonah Goldberg ever heard of Ed Snowden? You know, this guy who is in the know, right, at National Review? Does he think that we haven't heard of Ed Snowden? So somebody asked Jen Psaki, the press secretary for Biden. They said, Tucker Carlson says the NSA is spying on him. Is the administration aware of any espionage or listening efforts on U.S. citizens by the NSA? Is Tucker Carlson one of them, asked a reporter? Jen Psaki said, well, the NSA has, I think you're well aware, everyone's aware, everyone on this panel is aware, our planet, I think, is aware. I should say it is an entity that focuses on foreign threats and individuals who are attempting to do us harm on foreign soil. Well, that's what they're supposed to do. But we saw back in 2013, that's not what they're doing, is it? Not at all. They're not bound by the law or by the creation or by the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, by none of that. So Psaki continued, so that's their purview. But beyond that, I would just point you to the intelligence community. Flat out lying. Isn't it interesting that Jen Psaki is on the same side as Jonah Goldberg, the editor of National Review? You understand which side they're on, don't you? Tucker Carlson's allegation that the Biden administration is spying on him should worry everyone in the media. Well, if you don't know that the NSA is spying on you, it should worry everybody, but it, quite frankly, isn't all that much news. I was going to play the clip yesterday, and I ran out of time again. But when we look at what has happened this last year, and again, going back 8 years, 2013, when that all landed, we know that they're spying on everybody, and we know in particular that they're going to be spying on people and controlling people and using social media and other things. I've said from the very beginning, this whole thing about the social media platforms themselves were created by the intelligence community to do exactly what they're doing today. They're following orders from the Chinese government. They're following orders from the U.S. government. And guess what? The orders are to censor people. And so when we look at the result of this, they could not have pulled off what they did in 2020 unless they had taken away our free speech and our ability to have criticism of them in the public square. That's what the censorship is all about. It's not about protecting people's feelings. It's about making sure that only their narrative is put forward. This is how they won the propaganda war in 2020. How the big pharmaceutical companies won the propaganda war. Spying on opposition journalists, said Tucker, is incompatible with democracy. Everything that happened in 2020 under President Trump is incompatible with democracy. Everything that happened in Canada, in the UK, in Australia, in every country is incompatible with democracy. Do you know how many democracies there were in 1776? Zero. Zero. But in America, even though they were technically under the crown, people had been raised in freedom. And they were not going to have chains put on them by the British government. And so they pushed back against that. They established the idea of freedom, of democracy, and it spread around the world. But exactly the opposite thing is happening, and it is coming out of America today. In America today, we have set the example. Of course, we've used China. But China is the tool of the globalist empire that is really still headed by America. They may move their headquarters to China in the coming decades. But it's still all of these control mechanisms were developed in the U.S., beta tested in China, and rolled out to the rest of the world. We have now become the anti-freedom epicenter of the world. And if you want to know what that looks like, just take a look at what's happened in the last 8 years, and look especially at what happened this last year. As Tucker said, if they're doing it to us, and again, they are definitely doing it to us, he talked about the fact that he had an NSA whistleblower contacted him and said, we're listening to everything that you're doing. Why? So they can discredit him, so they can have other people know and get prepared to counter punch with lies. And as proof, this NSA whistleblower said, this is what you're working on right now. And he said, nobody would have known that unless they had seen my emails and texts, said Tucker Carlson. And so it's dismissed. He's ridiculed by Mediaite, by Drudge, by National Review. But he said, they're definitely doing it to us, said Tucker. They're almost certainly doing it to others. This is scary, and we need to stop it right away. Well, what we do to stop this is we stop playing partisan politics. We stop falling in line behind Donald Trump because it is the financially and politically expedient thing to do. And we start standing up for individual liberty. That will go across party lines. And we're now starting to see that. Finally, people are sick and tired of this lockdown. And they're starting to come together across party lines. One of the things that I didn't get to today was the fact that the San Francisco Chronicle was wringing its hands that these people who used to be for Trump, they're out there now talking about their own freedom from vaccine mandates and lockdowns and stuff. We can't have that. We've got to lock everybody down again with the Delta variant. That's what they want to do. Will people take that bait? Or will people push back? We now have had, since May, we had a crossover with people who thought it was back a year ago, back in March, when they locked everything down. 90% of the people wanted to be locked down. They did not want to have normal life. I was with the 10% before it was locked down and after it was locked down for the last year. But now that 90-10 split has now gone to, I think it's 65-35, who want their normal lives back. If we want it bad enough, we will take it back. And what the San Francisco Chronicle was concerned about was the fact that you have all these different people from the left and the right, and they're uniting over their freedom against lockdowns and vaccine mandates. Yeah. You can come together over free speech as well. You can come together over liberty in general, religious liberty. You can come together over free speech, over informed consent, and the right to decide what medicines you're going to take and which ones you're not going to have forcibly injected into you, whether that's by economic pressure or other means. We've got Abu Dhabi now saying that only vaccinated people will be allowed in public places. Are we going to put up with that? Are they going to lock us down again after they gave us temporary parole? Are they going to lock us down again with the Delta variant or the Epsilon variant or whatever, you know, the Gamma? Whatever. No. We now understand this is a lie. It is a fraud. And it's now up to us to take our freedom back, because Republicans aren't going to do it for you. Trump isn't going to do it for you. And you know the Democrats aren't going to do it for you. That's it for the broadcast. Thanks for joining us. We'll be picking this up on 1360KHNC.com. Thank you. The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. thedavidknightshow.com.